Good afternoon. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to one, on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today and or listening online at kkfi.org. Yes, it's another spectacular creative-filled afternoon here on ArtSpeak Radio, and we're going to be talking with I actually have a recorded interview with artist, painter, extraordinary friend Christina Munez, who is leaving Kansas City today, I believe. And we're also, really sad about her leaving, but, we're going to keep in touch. She's going to do some great things back in San Antonio. We also have Teresa Goodman, who is a certified yoga therapist and an artist. Also, Sylvia Kofler with Riverfront Readings. She's going to talk about the holiday reading that's coming up, right around the corner next month. And then we have members of the Wormwood Collective, Sherwood, Aaron Hamilton, and Maisha Washington. They're here in the studio live, and we're going to talk to all of them at, in the second half of the show. So we're going to get started right now with an interview with our good friend, Christina Munez. I'm here in the studio of Christina Munez here at the drugstore at 39th and Main. Thank you so much for having me in today. And I really appreciate being around your little hammy, your art dog. I love her.
Well, thank you for coming, Maria. It's our pleasure.
Yeah. So we had, I know that you came from San Antonio to Kansas City for to attend the Art Institute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Yeah. And while you were here, there was a lot of influential events that happened. One, you were telling me of one of your professors, Warren Rosser, who encouraged you to apply for the Charlotte Street Foundation residency, right?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. After graduation, in the weeks prior to graduation, he asked me what my plans were, and I told him, I guess I'm going to move back home and make work, and he was like, have you put in your application, for a Charlotte Street? And I was like, no, I've just thought I was going to go back home. He was like, why don't you just, throw in an application?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I think I literally did it the last day.
Wow.
And I got it, actually, I waited around to see if I was going to get it, and then I got it, and then I was like, I guess I'm going to stick around.
Mm-hmm. You seem surprised.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get it, and I'm like, So I didn't know I wanted it. At first, I was like, I'll throw it in there. Mm-hmm. But then when you're waiting for it, and then you realize, I kind of want it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so I really wanted it, and then I got it, so I was happy. But, that was a really weird summer. I was sleeping on people's couches because, mm-hmm. I didn't have a place to live at that point. So,
because your intent was that you were going to go back home to San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. I sold everything. I sold all my desk and all this stuff. I was looking to drive that little pickup home.
Yeah.
So when that didn't happen, I was like, okay, let's figure something out. And,
So what happened with the Charlotte Street residency? What occurred for you there? What happened?
I think the best thing occurred was that I was able just to make a lot of mistakes and a lot of mess and a lot of work. I mean, there's still a lot of work that I have wrapped up. I haven't seen since then. Mm-hmm. This is just 24-hour access. Mm-hmm. It's free studio space. I mean, there's nobody hounding you for a specific, project done. It's just, they're just giving you this time. Time is the main thing that they gave you. Time and a place. And so that is like the most treasured thing you can give to an artist.
Absolutely. And that's Hammy weighing in with her two cents. I wanted to ask you, though, with this residency, with being here at the drugstore, too, did it change the way you worked, being surrounded with other fellow artists?
Here at Charlotte Street.
Uh-huh.
Charlotte Street was it's kind of along the same lines, but with Charlotte Street, there's a lot of different artists from different areas. So a lot of people had like 9-to-5 jobs. Mm-hmm. So I might see them like once in a while, or maybe they would come really late at night or just for a couple hours right after work. Depending on who you were nearby, mm-hmm. you might not see them mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the case with some of them. Mm-hmm. But at the drugstore, it's still kind of like that, but we do see each other more often than not. And we have meetings every month. And then, but you know, everybody's on their own time schedule, but yeah. we definitely yeah. see each other, more. But it's still, here we try to just, what's good about it is that we try to have an openness to having critique nights. If we want them,
yeah,
they're not mandatory.
You know, and that's so important once you leave, you know, the Art Institute or any sort of, you know, college that, you know, of creative people, you don't have that community really once graduation hits, unless you do go out and seek those communities, you know, around town or in other spaces. So you had that sort of built in here then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just had one about 2 weeks ago mm-hmm. here, and that was the first one I had since 2015. Mm-hmm. I had one at Plug Projects right after graduating. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So I didn't feel I needed a critique, not with a group mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. It was about just being here by myself mm-hmm. and making work. Something that Warren had said in school and that I still kind of like hold dear is just, you just make work. Mm-hmm. Don't try to, you know, hurry up and show work, like mm-hmm. want to show in a place, mm-hmm. you know, and that, and of course he told us that while we were in school.
Right, right.
A lot of people were already trying to show while they're in school. It's like, uh-huh. come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. Not me. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way.
Well, you know, and I think that that's really smart. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's great to have that ambition and all, but sometimes you just need to make the work.
I think if you're in school, you should just be making work. But I mean, everybody has their own opinion about that. But when I'm so here it is after school. You know, if you're always making work, you can always be ready for a show if something pops up.
So, this dog, we love her. We love
her. We're just going to have
Hammy, the art dog.
Yeah. Hammy, go to bed.
You know, and I want to ask you something, because as I look around and see all the drawings and all the color on the walls and paper pieces and canvas, In the years that you've been here, in Kansas City till now, how much has changed in your work? What are some of the influences that that you feel, or do you feel that you've been influenced?
I don't think the influence have changed. I think the influence are always have been life, and yeah, it was like, oh yeah, you wake work from life. Mm-hmm. That's everybody or.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares? But it's just, I think it's the way that I worked. You know, in school, it was just like this schizophrenic mm-hmm. kind of thing. I wasn't mm-hmm. confident in, mm-hmm. It was hit and miss. There was really good hits and then there was some misses in there.
Mm, sure.
But I think I'm more, I think it's about being confident in your story. And when I say story, it's like my story of my life. Like,
sure,
I'm this character in my own life. And just the confidence in your mark. And before I'm like abstract painter. I didn't like things to look figurative. Mm-hmm. So now it's mm-hmm. this, you know, years past, now I'm more comfortable with it because I'm owning it and it's just about, this is the work that I'm doing. And it's always been
right. There's sort of an acceptance.
Yeah, it's always been right. It's just, I wasn't ready for it. And I think now it's just, I think it's all coming together a little bit more stronger. And I don't know. I just feel it's on a roll. And, I don't know.
Well, and I think, you know, you're one person that I do follow on Instagram and other sort of social media. You're very disciplined. You know, were you that way early on in your career at Art Institute?
At the Art Institute.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, did you find yourself like just trying to get through and stay in the studio as you do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of what my head is on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can ask anybody, but I was one of the, I guess some might say, I've heard stories before I transferred over here, and I would talk to people via, you know, the website, try to get to know students.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
People would always talk about the people who are always in studio as pretentious. So I guess I'm pretentious, but I was always in the studio. I did whatever it took.
That's interesting.
I did whatever it took to stay in the studio. I took a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly just to avoid going anywhere else. If I, you know, I just, you can't get better if you're not working. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then you look down and, you know, it's a different time of day and it's, you know, midnight and, you know, the time has gone by quickly and you just, you're sort of in that zone. You know, with the Art Institute and the Charlotte Street residency and being here at the drugstore, 39th and Main, you've also had a fair number of exhibitions, right? And most recently, a solo exhibit.
Yeah, I was very proud to have the Kiosk Gallery have my first solo exhibition here in KC.
That was a really strong show. But
yeah, thank you. I was very proud of it. I mean, Aaron and Eric Dodson did a marvelous job at that, you know, of hanging that show. Mm-hmm. I don't like to get too involved in hanging the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm good at it. And I'm good at making the work.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I trust them. I mean, I think it's a really good, it's such a good thing to be able to trust a gallery.
Yeah.
And I fully trust Aaron and Eric. Mm-hmm. And I told them, here's all the work. You can use what you want. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, my job was done. I mean, because I know them, you know, and I know that they care about the art and the artists. So it was a good show. I had a long time making the work. I wasn't rushed. I just keep making work.
Yeah.
The show developed. I mean, I didn't plan the theme. I didn't plan. It's just, you just keep making work and it unveils itself.
Yeah.
You know, to you. And so, but I was really happy with the show, and people who came by did not hesitate. I mean, people before who never really maybe said anything. Mm-hmm. I know that they liked my work because they keep coming to different shows of mine, group shows.
Mm-hmm.
But some spoke out on that night and like said, this is a, you know, phenomenal show. Be proud. So I was like, wow.
That's great. That's great. Well, you've had quite a bit of some people interested not only in your work, but KC Studio, I believe, did a piece on you as a working artist here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a major accomplishment and that, you know, being recognized by, you know, local, and I think you've shown some work outside of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm thinking, yeah, Omaha and
Project,
yeah,
Omaha, Nebraska,
yeah. You even got a shout out on a podcast, right?
At Latinos for Lunch, yeah. At Latinos for Lunch, a really good podcast.
Yeah,
I need to look that up.
Now, as you know, the time goes on. Now, you just recently announced that you're going to be leaving Kansas City. Can you talk about that?
Yes, it's. Oh, well, you know, there's some stuff going down, personal, like health stuff going down. Nothing too crazy. you know, it's not like the best thing, but
sure.
But it's just there's some stuff here in KC that I can't control. So I think the best thing right now is just to go kind of lean on some family members. Mm-hmm. And just to take care of some health issues.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Kansas City, you've developed a huge family of artists, artistic community that are here supportive of you. But I understand what you're saying. I know that, you know, it was a difficult decision to make to go to San Antonio. But, you know, I'm excited to see what happens with you back home, mm-hmm. seeing, you know, sort of your work over the years and, you know, see what happens.
You know. KC has been, and it's so weird because it's like after Charlotte Street, you know, it gave me room. It gave me time, right, mm-hmm. to make the work. And then I was like, well, I'll stay around. And then soon I got the following, you know, growing. And then I was like, wow, I have time to hang out here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did what it took. You know, I had a part-time job and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But mm-hmm. And so I loved it here, you know, but now when times are tough, it's kind of like, you know, when health strikes, it's like,
yeah,
well, come on. You can't hit up KC for everything. But the thing is that, I've had so much success here. I mean, the following that I have is just wonderful. Like my audience was like, they found me. It was like, I didn't have to search so much, you know?
Yeah.
They found me, so I was really grateful for that. But, and I hope they keep on following me. Going back to San Antonio, gosh, a lot has changed down there. Mm-hmm. I've heard so much has changed down there. So, my artist friend, Ana Fernandez, she's willing to she's ready, trying to help me to introduce me back mm-hmm. to my hometown.
You know, and I know we had
Ottawa,
talked,
so.
Yeah, well, I know we had talked earlier about this too, and that is at one point I remember the discussion with you and saying that San Antonio doesn't quite have the artist community that Kansas City does, although I think you mentioned that may be changing. However, I wanted to ask you if
I was saying yes and no, but see, yeah. But remember, I was like, my art.
Like, yeah. Yes, like, yes.
It's in context towards my art.
I'm glad you
see this. Because they do, oops. But for my art, it's kind of different because it's abstract, right? So it's like, I haven't been lucky enough to find my audience mm-hmm. in my hometown yet.
Yeah,
and, you know, and so it's kind of like, it's always been like, frustrating for me because I want my audience to be a part of my hometown.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those stay tuned because you will. I know that with the strength and your experience here in Kansas City that you'll take what you've learned and processed and worked through and all that back to San Antonio and perhaps it'd be a different environment altogether. What do you think?
Yeah, no, definitely. All I can do, I mean, I feel like I'm already kind of open to being helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's just being here is just like here at the drugstore and in KC, mm-hmm. artists are like really extremely helpful to mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. Extremely. Mm-hmm. They lend each other spaces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had people, and I know that if they're listening, they know who they are. They've given me their old cameras, I could document their work. Yeah. I mean, who does that? I mean, come on. I mean, just, it's, they've helped each other. That's how they are. So if anything, I'm just hoping to just take what I am and what Casey has made me better at. Take it home and try to do that.
Show them how we do it.
Yeah, and just to be better and just to... help the ones who are doing that already there and kind of help them multiply it because that needs to spread there. And like I said, I don't know.
That's a great word, yeah.
I don't know what's going down there, but I do know that they're in the spotlight. So It might be a good thing. And while I'm tending to my health thing, and mm-hmm. I'm still going to mm-hmm. be making work. So,
you know, one thing that has impressed me, that made a huge impact on how I view your work, is that no matter what happens, you know, in your life experiences, and then I know that one time you were hospitalized, the work still's coming. And I'm seeing you, like, working from you know, the hospital bed, and like, this woman.
Yeah, give me some Xerox copy paper.
Yeah.
And, yeah, in a nub of a pencil.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
You know, I mean, an artist is always going to have to find a way to make stuff. So,
very resourceful to, you know, at finding a way to make some sort of a mark.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I think a lot of painters and artists.
I think painters have it. Painters have no excuse not to make work.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say? Because I mean, if you work in sculpture, if you work in, I mean, yes, you can always draw, but I don't know how it is to be a sculptor, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that breath is fulfilled by drawing it. I know for me it is, in a way, because when I draw something, it puts that moment. It's tangible now. It's mm-hmm. on that paper. Mm-hmm. It's not ever going to be the same if I want to do it into a painting, but that breath is captured on that paper. So I don't know. I don't know how it is for a sculptor mm-hmm. or a photographer or anybody. I know for a painter, it's like, you know, you just got to lay it down. You'll find a way to lay it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Christina, do you see yourself coming back to Kansas City maybe for a visit or a show or just, you know?
I want to tackle some of the larger galleries here.
Yeah,
I never got a chance to knock on their doors, you know. Never got a chance to knock on their doors and for them to say no. Maybe. But I want to come back. I do want to come back. Hey, who knows? Maybe I'll come back and buy my little house here. I love the Midwest. I mean, I did. I fell in love with Casey. So, but whatever happens, you know, just got to tend to this stuff first. And, but I'm definitely going to probably come back. I have to come and, you know, see about the rest of my studio stuff. So I'll keep in my studio here for a little bit.
Okay.
So I won't be gone forever.
Well, and you know what? So we're not going to say goodbye to you.
Mm-mm.
We're not. We're just going to say we'll just see you a little bit later.
Yeah.
And, you know, leave it at that and hope, you know, the best for you with your health and your art. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely we'll look for you in the galleries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I mean, you never know. You might see me back in a show here sooner than later. We never know. We never know what happens. So, but it's been a joy. It's been a joy to be involved in the community here. Totally.
Very good. We love you, Christina Muniz.
Oh, thank you. Love you, Casey.
We'll talk to you later.
And that was our beautiful friend, Christina Muniz. We wish her the best of luck and safe travels, my friend. And hope you enjoyed a little bit of Hammy, her dog, her art dog, in the studio, jangling her leash and license tags and all that. So we're going to be right back after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Well, you're actually listening to Art Speak Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a priority every week from noon to 1 Central Standard Time here on 90.1 FM. And for folks listening online, thank you for tuning in on kkfi.org. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, you did hear the underwriting spot about the 2017 Casey Clay Guild that's happening, the 35th annual holiday pottery sale and studio tour. I just wanted to give a shout out to our good friends that that make these wonderful works of art for you. Dick Daniels, thank you so much for the flyer. You'll see him down there at the holiday pottery sale this weekend. Also, I believe Hector Casanova, our good friend at Kansas City Art Institute, sent this. It is the Harvest event that showcases Kansas City's finest illustrators to connect ambitious, bright, young artists with mentors, internships, and potential careers. So that is happening. Harvest is happening tomorrow, November 30th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Kansas City Art Institute. And that's actually going to be, I believe, in the illustration department. Yeah, so you can check that out. Also, don't forget, Friday, December 1st, we have an evening of music with Kelly Hunt and Jeff Black performing as a duo at Knucklehead Saloon with special guest Ernest James Zydeco, a duo featuring Barry Washboard Barnes. So that's happening tomorrow at Knucklehead's, Friday, December 1st at Knucklehead's. We also have some VIP tickets available for $75 that gives you drink tickets, meet and greet with Kelly and Jeff. And we only have 8 of those VIP tickets left. So for more information, go to our website, kkfi.org, and I believe it's /events. And you can find out more information about that. Up next, we have the beautiful, lovely Teresa Goodman, who is a certified yoga therapist and an artist. She began yoga when she was 33 years old, and she's going to tell us about her story of what she found with yoga and her latest recording. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So this is the first time you've been at the studio, so
yes,
we love having you here. So what got you into yoga at the age that you were at? You said 33 years old, you were in a lot of pain. I understand that.
Yes. I had migraines and I had sciatica, so I woke up in pain every day. So I decided to do something about it, and I never stopped moving. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I found a lot of physical relief in the beginning, and I started off with, you know, just movements, because we all start somewhere, and that kind of led me to open my creative centers, and from there it led me to singing in front of people. That it was an experience where I found my voice in the process. So It's been an incredible journey of, you know, if you would have asked me, are you going to be singing in public anytime, I would have said, no, there's no way. But that just really, yoga really helped me to not only feel physically well, but mind, body, spirit collectively. So I feel, you know, wherever you start, you know, your practice, it leads you all in the same direction.
And it is a way of life you now.
Yes.
Who do you have a suggestion for people who are interested in learning more about yoga? I mean, where do you begin? You know.
Well, it's like trying to find.
No, that's pretty complex, but
it is. But it's also really about understanding what your needs are first. And, you know, it's like finding the right doctor or the right, you know, healing modality that mm-hmm. you choose. So I feel that just pick a class and just go, and it may not be the one. And, you know, just I think it's really about understanding what you need first mm-hmm. And listening to your body mm-hmm. as well. So I would say start anywhere.
yeah, just get started. Well, I love that in the information that you gave me about yourself, your bio. One of my first spiritual experiences was when I was a young child growing up Roman Catholic, mm-hmm. where they still said the Mass in Latin.
Yes.
And then that service moved you.
Yeah, it did. I remember as a child, you know, we get kind of bored in church, but yeah. Music has a really profound way of changing people. It can really open your heart, I feel, especially with the artists that put themselves out there. They really put themselves out there with a big open heart, mm-hmm. and I felt that in that moment as a child that it was my way of connecting with the divine, with creator, or, you know, whatever, insert your own deity here. So it was a profound experience, and I was always in search of that afterward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I never realized that, you know, I could find it within myself as well to have that really beautiful moment of just yourself and the mantra or the you know, the chant, whichever you do, it can really change and actually heal people.
I love that. And also in the biography that I'm reading, it says that you discovered music heals, and then you began to sing to your students.
Yes, yes. I was in a class, and Kareem Memi, she's an Iyengar yoga teacher in the city, and she would sing these beautiful Spanish songs as we were coming out of Shavasana. And that's another thing that really profoundly moved me. I just, you know, you could feel the music in your toes and, you know, all over the hair stands up in the back of your neck. So it's just, it's a really, you know, these profound moments that we have, we should savor them and just really, I feel of everything that I've learned, it's really being in the moment that is important. We get caught up in every, you know, we get caught up in our lives and, oh, I've got to do this and I got to do that. And really meditation is, or mantra or whatever venue you, or modality you choose, it's really about being in the moment and understanding. That's meditation is that. It's not clearing your mind. It's not, you know, we're human. We have thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. You can't stop them. So I feel, you know, if singing gets you into the meditation, then sing. If, you know, moving or dancing gets you into that meditative moment where you connect with your own spirit, then do that. There's so many different types of modalities that we can all pick from. And here in America, we have the blessing of having the melting pot. We have our cultures from India and Mexico and everywhere. So I feel like we can really embrace, all cultures can embrace any kind of spiritual practice.
I love that. Now, if you would tell our listeners about the recording that you have of songs that you perform yourself.
Yes, yes. I just released a CD, and it's called Nava, which means nine. And I decided to do nine just because it's sacred geometry, and I resonate with a number nine. I start that CD off with nine ohms. So it's really more about just bringing people to that meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the whole idea behind the CD, is that it brings you to a nice, deep meditative state.
Oh, I love that. Now, Teresa, for people who want to find out more information about your CD or your practice, how do they contact you?
My website is www.teresagoodman.com, and my music is on there, and there's also just links to what my services are as far as a yoga therapist is concerned.
Mm-hmm. And will they be able to sample Nava?
Yes, you can. Good. And actually, I'm now on YouTube and Instagram. So
Facebook.
Yes, and Facebook as well, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and spending the afternoon with us. Promise you'll come back?
I will,
I would
yes.
love to have you.
All right, thank you.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Teresa Goodman. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. We're back with Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and that's a little Bobby McFerrin and Yo-Yo Ma, just because, you know. And it is Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of the year. Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, I have members of the Wormwood Collective. That would be Sherwood. Hello, Sherwood.
Hello.
If that indeed is your name.
Yeah.
Just playing with you. And we also have Aaron Hamilton. Welcome, Aaron.
Hello.
And Myesha Washington. Hello.
Hello.
Terrific. So we're going to find out a little bit about the Wormwood Collective. I know you have an anniversary that is coming up, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk to the individual members. So hit it, Sherwood.
Yes, the Wormwood Collective has our two-year anniversary show coming up. It's in the basement of Prohibition Hall. It'll be tomorrow night for the First Friday's event. It'll start around 7 or 7:30 and go until 10, and it'll be a co-hosted event with Tones and Vibes. What we're going to do is have sort of a friendly competition. So we'll have each poet, a poet from each team will come up one after another and just sort of give a piece that is reflective of other poets who have gone. And just it's something that can create camaraderie between various poetic groups that are within Kansas City, because there's actually quite a few.
Yeah, this is a poetry town, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said, you mentioned Prohibition Hall, which is 18th and, is it, it's not Grand, is it?
No, it's on McGee. I think it's maybe like
14. 18 McGee.
Yeah, there you
go.
It's
good.
Right next to the Sprint Center. And it's been, we've been there for a year now, so it's actually our one-year anniversary there, and it's the two-year anniversary for the Wormwood Collective in Kansas City. It's actually a group that started in Chicago and has been around for nearly a decade.
Terrific. And Maisha and Aaron Hamilton, you will both be in attendance, right?
Yes.
So, and how did you get connected with Wormwood?
It started out about a year ago. I was going to the Wormwood and Poetry and Abstinence shows. And then, of course, I was doing some poetry sets there every now and then, and then develop, of course, you know, my own, which with my partner here of Tones and Vibes, which is now, of course, as Sherwood said, that we will be having like a little friendly competition thing happening tomorrow.
Competition is good. What do you think about that, Aaron? Is that a good thing?
Oh, yes, most definitely. It brings out the best in all artists.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, you begin to challenge each other, and really you have to up your game.
Sure do.
Yes.
So, you know, you're here. Would you like to share some of your work with us?
Sure. No problem with that. I have a piece called Caught In.
Oh, and it's G-rated, right? Because this is community radio.
Yeah. So it's called Caught In. When I look at you, I see what happiness was meant to be. I see past lives that had signs that you'd be the greatest since Muhammad. Just so you know, I will battle the gods and ride against the grain of tides of all time just to make it cease, to hold this moment in eternity with you. You are my happiness, sadness, muse of madness, my cause, internal storms that whoosh me around with no control, and with all of me it takes its toll. You are my soul. I'm your sun-dressed beauty in a sundress on the beach-seeking wishes of people in bottles washed ashore in these mid-city streets. The reason I feel free. The reason I feel free. I need to be the one you seek, and I promise this will be just you and me. You and I spy one soul. Without, I'm weak. You're my strength, a better way to breathe. My restful nights, my wonderful mornings, my tastiest treat, the one I've waited lifetimes to be. As you are and I are we, please understand what I said in my speech. Immobile when I'm in your sights. If you were a sniper, I'd be dead to the T. I can't deal without you on my sheet. My number one roster pick. Baby, I'm saying that you're it. Take in your earth. Bask in my sky. You reflect my sun and you control my tides. My king of my greatest nights, the comfort I seek in darkness. I won't allow this department to liquidate what we have invested in stock. But just know, I'll stop in tracks because I'm caught in.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, wow. So we have a lot of different voices here in the poetry community and the writing community. And, You know, one, again, is the Wormwood Collective. Hello, Sherwood.
Hello.
Yeah, we're so glad that that you can join us. And I know you yourself are not only a writer, but you're also a performer, a guitarist, singer, songwriter, right?
Yes, I do all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I promise that next time we're going to get you on with your guitar, because you've been on the show a couple of times and performed for us, and really enjoy your music. So
I love coming and performing for
yeah.
you.
Well, you know, this is community radio, so we make room for you know, all the people that are the creative community here in Kansas City. So we love that we can share that with listeners. And Aaron, so I understand Tones and Vibes, you're the new poetry event, right?
Yes.
Spearheaded by Maisha, but also working with the Wormwood Collective.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
And so all the performances, all the readings, poetry will be at 18th and McGee at the Prohibition.
1118 McGee, okay, Kansas City, Missouri, 64105.
Now, how can we find all the different groups? Social media, contact information, websites. You want to share any of that with us?
With Tones and Vibes, you can reach us at www.facebook.com/ToneandVibesKC, and that's another forward slash at the end. We keep updated events posted about when's our next show, which we have it every third Monday of each month.
That's good to know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you have people that sign up to participate in these events?
Yes.
So they would need to contact you ahead of time, or at that time that the events
at the Tones and Vibes shows, we actually have a sign up sheet as soon as you come in, and that's where you'll sign up on the list, and you know we'll just call you randomly up to the mic.
Terrific. I like that. I like that. Anything I left out? I know we're kind of at a winding down here. Is there anything else that I may have forgotten?
No, it's just tomorrow night. You can catch the Wormwood Collective and Tones and Vibes working together, and you can come be a part of it. We'll have a sign-up sheet. If you want to come and also share some of your work, you're more than welcome. It's open to anyone. We, as Will would say, we do anything we can legally get away with that involves spoken word.
Well, and that leads me to something else, is that you 18 and over, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So this may not be the venue if you're a young kid.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So thank you so much, Sherwood, Aaron Hamilton, and Maisha Washington, the Wormwood Collective, and Tones and Vibes, a new poetry event here. Thank you so much for coming in today, and I promise I will have you all back on, and you can read some more of your work.
Most definitely.
And you'll perform.
Yeah,
because
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm looking forward to 2018, getting that calendar lined up, and so please feel free to contact me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with Sylvia Koeffler right after this. And we're back. This is ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd talking to you live here on the 90.1 FM KKFI microphone here on 39th and Main. So up next we have the delightful Sylvia Koeffler with Riverfront Readings. Hello, my friend. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
How are you, kid?
Fine. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So you're representing the Riverfront Reading Committee, and you're going to talk about this holiday extravaganza.
It's time for our annual Riverfront Holiday Open Mic. It is Sunday, December 10th at 2 p.m. at Prosperous Books at 1800 West 39th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Come and join us. Read a seasonal poem or two, original or not, or one very short story, or come to listen. Also, we encourage acoustic musicians. So if you wanted to perform a song, you're more than welcome. It is co-hosted by Riverfront Readings and the Writer's Place Salon. To sign up or play or read, please email Carl Bettis at contact@riverfrontreadings.com. That's contact@riverfrontreadings.com. And you can also sign up when as you arrive if you have to.
That's so much fun. Thank you so much. You know, Sylvia, I don't know if you have a listing of upcoming, well, maybe the end of the year 2018 readers on tap.
We have our first reading will be January the 12th, and it will be with Gary Lecklider, who is the publisher and one of the editors of the I-70 Review, and Jesse Cates from The Sexy Accident.
We love our Jesse.
Yes, and
well, we
also
love them both.
And also, I'm really excited. We always have a little music at Riverfront Readings, and Casey Rausch will play some songs for
love
us.
Love that, Casey Rausch. You know, she's here on Sundays, too. And I know Gib Shell performs
music on a regular basis.
We love our Gib.
Yes. And there's some other readings coming up, actually, on January 16th. The Thomas W. Wilson reading is at 6 p.m. at the library, the Johnson County Library on 87th Street. And I'm really excited because I will read with Walter Bargan.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Wow. I love that. You know, there's so much, as I was telling I always say this, actually, that there's so much talent here in Kansas City that we're just, I won't say we're overwhelmed, but there's just so much to do and see and you know, listen.
We are fortunate.
Yeah, we really are.
I have to decide what to attend. I have plans every night this week.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, you know, just listening to the underwriting and knowing that I've got tickets for Making Movies on Saturday and Kelly Hunt and Jeff Black. I mean, there's just so much going on. And I should also mention that the end of the semester art sale at the Kansas City Art Institute takes place. It begins Friday, and that runs Sunday. So that's always something to go to.
Yes, and I've bought some items there before. It's always wonderful.
It's really a lot of fun. And yeah, so we're very fortunate. So again, the Riverfront Reading, it's the holiday reading, right?
Yes.
It's going to be Sunday, December 10th at 2 p.m., Prospero's Books at 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. That is co-hosted by the Riverfront Readings and the Writer's Place Salon. So if you want to make sure that you sign up to play or read, you can contact Carl Bettis at contact@riverfrontreadings.com. Also, there's probably an event page on Facebook.
Facebook, yes. Yeah. And then we have riverfrontreadings.com. You can find us.
Yeah.
Yes. And usually our Riverfront Readings, the regular readings, we usually host them at the Writer's Place, the second Friday of the month.
Yeah. You know, with this holiday reading, is there the theme really is about holidays? How do you, what are the guidelines? I mean, does it have to be?
It has to somehow relate to the season or the holidays. Uh-huh. I mean, it could be holiday shopping craze. I'm not sure. So different venues, but they should be fairly short.
Uh-huh. You know. So. Yeah. So would you say maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yeah, about 3 minutes, yeah. 4 minutes, yeah.
Otherwise, you get the hook and you get pulled off, yanked off the stage.
Yes, we kind of tell. You know, you cannot read a 10-minute story.
Yeah, that's so much fun. And you will be there reading,
yes,
right, Sylvia?
I will.
Good,
I will.
Good. And then, again, you can sign up to play or read. For more information, contact@riverfrontreadings.com. That's going to be a great time there at Prospero's Books, 1800 West 39th Street. Shout out to Will Latham. We love you. We love you, Will. So, yeah, and a lot of good things coming up with Riverfront Readings, right?
Yes.
Very good. Anything I left out, Sylvia?
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I wanted to mention, yes, and it'd be very lucky to be able to host the reading at Prospero's again. They're very busy, and they just celebrated their 20th anniversary, which was
fabulous. Yeah, good for them. You know, it's great to have the independent booksellers and bookstores around and supporting that, and that, in turn, they support the arts. So
exactly.
Thank you for that. Thank you so much, Sylvia Kofler. Will you come back, please?
Oh, I'd love to.
She says, twist my arm. Because I know, Sylvia, we go way back when, you know, when we were young girls in Germany.
Almost.
We love you, Sylvia. Thanks
thank
so much,
you.
Honey. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to say thank you to Teresa Goodman, the Wormwood Collective. That would be Sherwood and Tones and Vibes, Aaron Hamilton, Maisha Washington, and of course, our very, very dear friend, Christina Munez, on her way to San Antonio. Best of luck to you. I want to say next week, December 6th, we've got Tim Morrison with the 2010 Gallery who will be here. And then I've got a couple of folks who are going to give us their take on Where Were You When John Lennon Was Shot? Phil Keenan and John Todd, the radio god, our very own John Todd, will be here talking about their stories, where they were when John Lennon was shot. Stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon with our dear friend Jeff Harshbarger. And so thank you so much. Like us on Facebook. We love you. Honey, it looks like I'm coming home.